Don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, weeknights, things will be better. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson. It's Sports Night with Parker and
Wilson. Svidaniya, comrades. See, keeping with the Olympic Sochi 2014 Russian Riviera theme. Dos Vidanya. Dos Vidanya, Robert sounds Lee Parker
nasty.
Jr.
Sounds nasty.
Well, where's your brain at? Maybe that's why it sounds so nasty. But here we are with the podcast the week of February 17th, 2014, President's Day week. President's Day began in 1879 and was only for George Washington. Abraham Lincoln has never really been included in President's Day just because he was born in February. Did you know that?
No, who's
just George Washington? It was meant as a holiday for Washington.
We used to have both. We used to get both off.
But the Monday President's Day was started just for George Washington.
His birthday was January 22nd, correct?
February.
February 22nd?
Yeah.
February 22nd.
Yeah.
Lincoln
was never a part of this. Lincoln was the 12th.
February 12th. Yeah. So they just put them together. We used to have two separate.
Well, I know, but technically, legally, it's still a day to honor G-dubs. Just G-dubs, not A-ling.
You know what I used to love? As a kid playing ball, Pony League in New York. Ready?
I'm ready.
Umpire would say, for the count, Lincoln! Washington!
What was that for?
Lincoln was 1-2, and Washington was 2-2.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
That is so stupid.
He did.
Who did that?
The umpire.
In a little league?
It. Yes. And no, Pony League.
Pony League?
Yeah.
I guess by Pony, you're 14 or so, whatever.
He said, he'd go... the count, you know, like pitch or whatever, be Lincoln.
Yeah, I got it.
And if somebody said something, he would say 1-2.
Well.
And then when he said Washington, you knew.
Did they ever say Putin?
No, you never got to Putin.
How about the people taking selfies with Putin? They love taking the Putin selfies. I'd like a selfie with Putin. I would take a picture with Putin. I mean, I don't like the dude. I understand his, you know, non-worth in my life, but I would take a picture with Vladimir Putin.
But if you were Russian, you would love him, Mark. I mean,
they're like getting on the Canadians because a lot of them are taking selfies with Putin. Speaking of the Olympics, week two is upon us. Last I looked, the USA was tied for second in total medals with 16. Big hockey game. U.S. beat Russia in an 8-round shootout. And you know who was the big hero in the shootout for the United States there, Rob, don't you?
No, who was that?
Oji? T.J. Oshie.
Very nice. And Sushi.
From the Blues. 4 shootout goals. He's like a marksman. That's why he's actually on the team for the United States, is because he is kind of an expert at these shootout goals. Pavel Datsyuk had 2 goals for the Russians, so it was good to see a Red Wing get involved. Henrik Zetterberg got hurt in his game with Sweden. Alfie scored in a game for Sweden. But to all the people that said, see, this is why you can't send guys to the Olympics, I saw a guy write something very astute, and that is, Russia didn't hurt Henrik Zetterberg. Hockey did. So the theory is he would have been playing hockey here anyhow and probably had the same kind of injury at some point as it stood. So it wasn't the going to Russia that hurt Zetterberg. It was
no,
the hockey.
But it's not that. It's that if you're paying him money to play in the National Hockey League, it to me is ludicrous and silly still to this day that we send our pros to play. I don't care what other country. I don't believe in it. I don't think the NBA
you
players
still to this day do not think day. The NHL guys no. should be going over to play the Olympics.
I don't.
Really?
I don't. I'm not into it at all. I don't.
You think the college kids should still be going over there?
Absolutely.
The only problem is the college kids aren't staying long enough. They're going to the pros too early. So they weren't doing that
so
back
what?
Then.
Back then, whoever's left out of the amateurs. So what, Mark?
Oh, my, Rob. You'll have no shot.
No. So what? It's about amateur. That's what made the miracle.
Yeah, but the Russians aren't amateurs. They're paid.
I don't care. I don't
in fact,
care.
Every other country pays
their
players.
I don't care what they do. That's not what we do.
Oh, you're crazy. You're
no,
living
I'm
in
not,
the past.
I'm not living in the past. It just doesn't do anything for me to send NHL players or NBA players, that dream team, really, Mark, you want to go over the scores from that and whoop and wave
well,
a flag?
I'm not so much onto the basketball. Because there's college basketball players who I feel could probably compete.
No, all the great ones leave early, just like in hockey.
No, but they have to play 1 year.
Yeah, but still they're gone after that. Maybe it's not the Olympic year, so you lose a lot of
but they don't have any other choice but to go play college basketball. Hockey players don't have to do that. They can still go to the NHL when they kind of feel like it.
Me and you will disagree. I don't get anything out of it.
Well, I do. I love it. I actually like watching the Americans, although I'm not happy with the unis they have this year, but I actually like seeing the Americans and the Canadians.
Rangers, the New York Rangers.
Dude, those are the ugliest.
That's what they look like.
USA crest is just, again, you know, these throwback-looking things, just not my speed.
But doesn't it look like the Rangers uniform?
Yeah, it has a little Rangers thing to it. I'm more taken by the chicks in this thing. Kate Hansen, you know, my niece's name, I have a quandary. My niece's name is Kate Hansen. And Kate Hansen was she's the one that dances, does the routine before she does the luge thing. So I was kind of taken by her. I just was kind of careful because my own niece is named Kate Hansen. So it's just kind of weird that they have the same name. And then I was kind of interested in the skeleton thing, the Katie Ulander. Her father was Ted Ulander, who played for the Cincinnati Reds in the World Series in 72. He passed away, but Katie finished fourth, didn't get a medal again. Disappointment for her. It was fun watching this. Noelle Pikus-Pace win the silver in her Olympic finale. And the dice dancers from here, the Michigan Ice Dance, Merrill Davis and Charlie White. They're getting close. They had a world record. They're going to dance last, I guess, on Monday for the gold. So that's pretty good. Bodie Miller getting the bronze in the Super G. He's 36 years old. I mean, any impressions that you had, anything other than hockey I'm just kind of giving you a little chance
Ask me how much I've seen.
Seriously, I've watched nothing? Nothing. Really? A lot of compelling stuff.
I'm not interested, Mark. Yeah. Not at all. I watch, you know what I do? I wake up in the morning.
I disagree with you on that.
Okay, but me and you are different on this. I'm just not. I watch the Today Show. I wake up. I watch the Today Show every day. It's all Olympic wall of war. I watch a little bit, and then I have to turn.
So you did see some Olympics,
because
it's on the Today Show.
Whatever it is. But I'm not really. I couldn't tell you who won or all that stuff. And the other thing, too, you know this. This is what I don't like, and it's changed. It wasn't always like that. They used to just show the Olympics and who won. Now it's like, okay, wait, the U.S. lost and bobsledding, but let's talk to the people who finished 15th anyway, because they're Americans. We don't interview the people who won because they're from Russia or they're from somewhere else.
Well, they've done plenty of those interviews.
But not as much, Mark, as it used to be at the Olympics. It used to be about whoever won, right? Then it became more American-centric. And now tape delay and showing this event and what. I'm not into it.
Speed skating is my thing. I love it. I'm very disappointed in how the Americans have come out. And the problem is, they say, there's the suits. They're the new streamlined uniforms that the American speed skaters have were supposedly never tested in competition because they didn't want to give the quote-unquote tech away. So, let's see. You're going to hurt yourself because you don't want anybody else stealing your tech. The technological development of the outfits themselves, so you're just not going to bother testing them before these guys and girls and, you know, Shandy Davis and whatnot get into those little things. I'm a speed skater from way back. I love it. It's one of those sports that never looks like it changes. Speed skating today, although short track was not really around much back in the 70s and 80s, I thought it was very cool to watch, you know, how they're in that, Victor Ahm. The kid that, I guess he's changed countries, he's changed names, he's changed suits, he's all over the place, but the bottom line is the guy's still one of the best in the world when Apollo Ono isn't around. So, good move there, not checking on the suits before you actually get to Russia to get to, you know, where it's going to be in the 60s. So they're going to gain extra moisture inside the suit, and you're going to have all that extra weight on you, which a pound, half a pound, a few ounces can make a huge difference when you're talking about tenths of a second, in winning times. Bob Costas is supposed to be back. He's coming back this week after his pink eye thing. He gave way to Matt Lauer, who then gave way to Meredith Vieira, and now Bob's going to come back. Got a feel for Mr. Costas.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan.
I mean, Bob, me and Bob have a personal relationship.
Well, we all like Bob Costas.
No, but I have a personal relationship with him.
Well, you don't sleep with him or anything, do you?
No, it's not. Come on, Mark. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
But,
Speaking of sleeping with, Meredith Vieira looks great for 60.
I think she is. I'm sorry. I love her. I think she's...
I do, too.
I really tweeted, I said,
Meredith Vieira, I can watch that any day of the week.
She's not one of those, like, you know, old hags that you've... You know what I mean? Or anything like that. I think she is fun. She's not an old 60 at all. She's fun. She laughs at herself. I like her. Her personality, I think, is outstanding.
You know,
but Costas, you know, I don't know if you remember. Remember I filled in on Mike and Mike, and I filled in for Golic. So I was on with Greeny one day, and it was during the Barry Bonds stuff. And me and Costas got into it, like about, you know, Costas is always, you know, one of the self-righteous baseball guys and blah, 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 blah. And so we get into it on the show. So Bob, I get a phone call. It's Bob. This is like a week later, a few days later. He's like, Rob, I'm reading all over the internet that me and you are feuding and because of the whatever. He says, I didn't get that from you. I said, Bob, I didn't get that from you. We're just having a conversation. He said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. I said, because I'm reading this stuff and I'm just like, when? Where? We just debated different points or whatever. I thought it was cool of him. A big guy like that, he's like...
Were you on the show the day we had Costas on? But I'm not so sure
you were. Yeah, I was.
No.
That's because he said, I'm going to tell you, you remember this? Because he said, I know Parker, I just don't know the man. That's what he said.
No, there was another time, though.
Okay.
This was at CHB.
Okay, no, this was, do you remember that? That was on DF, that was on 97.1.
I don't remember. Because
it was on the weekend. He said, I know who Parker is, I just don't know who
that was like 15 years ago, 14 years
ago. Yeah, a long time ago. But you know him. I mean,
we had him on, right, we had him on CHB. You weren't, I almost want to say Stephen A. was on with me that day. And I didn't get the message from our board operator person that Costas was on the line yet.
Uh-oh.
And so... Finally, I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was Baby Stacy or Ron or whomever it was. It was not even their fault. It was a mistake for the phone lines. And finally, he points at me or she points at me and says, Bob Costas is on. So I take the call, and the first thing Costas says was, I said, Bob, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you were still hanging. You were waiting. He goes, I was just enjoying a bit of the man show.
Is that right?
Yes, because I was kind of filling time until Costas showed up. Because I'd already promoted it and I had nothing else.
I remember this story that you did tell me this. I wasn't on.
I was just enjoying the man show. So I thought that was funny. That's a Costas thing. The other thing I wanted to
mention. The bad thing about it was it went from one eye to the other.
Pink eye did, yeah.
It moved over, you know, the infection.
Looked terrible. So hopefully he's better and doesn't have to go through that. Must be just, I've never had that before. Have you? You ever had that before? Anything like that?
Knock on.
I've never even had an eye infection.
Stop.
What do you mean?
Just don't start putting it out there. Knock on some wood because you say that and then the next thing you know you'll be
kiss
like,
it too.
Look at my eye. No.
All right, I'll do it the right way. There you go. The other thing I wanted to mention before we finish with the Olympics is Lolo Jones posted video of the food they're eating over there. And everybody's bitched about, obviously, the conditions and the, you know, the accommodations and the hotel rooms and the bathrooms. Did you see the video? I saw it on through Facebook or something. The video of the food that they're, the gruel, looks like porridge gruel with some crap in it that they're eating with like a piece of cornbread.
No.
Like they're in prison. So what I don't get though is why can't they get food in there, the food they want? It's an airplane ride. I can't explain that. The problem is after they eat the food, they have to go to those community bathrooms. And I would not want to be.
With that having to come out.
In that community bathroom. Somebody asked me about sushi. Yoshi. Sochi, you know what American city do you think Sochi is actually the size of per population?
Minneapolis.
No. Okay. We're closer. Anaheim, California.
Okay.
Anaheim, California has exactly the same amount of people, 343,500, that Sochi has. That's how many people live there. And it's been in the 60s. We've had temperatures in the 60s.
Today they got sweaters on. They don't even wear parkas or winter jackets.
Some of the alpine skiers, Super G and whatnot, were actually practicing in shirt sleeves.
Mr. G.
In shirt sleeves. And some people supposedly, because when you get all the way down to the bottom, there's palm trees. It's real. Everybody's seen all that. People have actually been swimming in the Black Sea. That's how warm it is for the Olympic Winter Games.
So where do the white people go? Do they swim in
the White Sea?
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure.
The Black Sea and the White Sea.
See, that was easier when they had segregation over there. They didn't have to
Putin.
They didn't have to name everything, Mark, or put up signs. It was easy. black people got in the Black Sea, and the white people got in the White Sea.
Does it get any whiter than Vladimir Putin?
No. or Russian. Are you kidding? Russian. Why wouldn't black people be there? For what the cold. Are you, Mark, please.
It's not cold in Sochi.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Russia.
Russian Riviera, baby.
Goodness.
All right, coming next here on the podcast, I want to go to Tiger stuff. Spring training is underway. I got a column I posted on ParkerTheMan.com, or if you're enjoying ParkerTheMan.com, or if you're listening to us on the PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com. You can see my column on Brad Ausmus and how he compares to other Tiger managers when they took over their Tiger teams back in the day. All the way to Sparky, to Billy Martin, to Ralph Houk, to obviously Buddy Bell and other people. So check that out, and also a little bit about spring training itself and how spring training, never look at spring training games when you want to figure out how a team is going to do. And I'll give you an example real quick before we go further. In 1984, now the 30th anniversary coming up of the last Tigers World Series championship, the Tigers went 11-17 in spring training. The four division winners that year were as follows: the Tigers, the Cubs, the Royals, and the Padres. Three of those four teams had the three worst spring training records. Kansas City was 14-10. Cubs lost 20 that year. And the Padres and Tigers each lost 17. And three of those four teams went on to go to the postseason. I'll give you one better. In 1987, when the Tigers won the East, they had by far and away the worst spring training record. Within like four games, the Tigers were 9-20. No one else had, I think, more than 16 losses.
Really?
Yep, and then they went out and won the East in 87. So don't ever look at spring training when the games begin coming up next week. 25th, I believe, they play the... play Florida Southern, the annual game against the college, and then the Atlanta Braves down in Disney World. That's next week. This week will be full squad coming into play. But some of the highlights so far: Rob Parker, Justin Verlander, if you've seen it, threw off the mound. He's been running. Says he's ready to go. Says he'll be ready to go for the start of the season.
What did my CWPF say? Remember I had that.
That he would be ready to go for the start. He would not miss time.
I did. I had that.
Bruce Rondon looks leaner.
How much leaner can he look? I haven't seen any pictures, but...
he looked pretty good.
For a 22-year-old, my goodness.
No, Lord. He's a big dude. He's a big guy.
You're being nice.
Dave Dombrowski looks grayer. Like a lot of gray hair now. Like he's gone almost completely gray.
Well, he should. All the money he spent the last 10 years with nothing to show for it.
Omar Vizquel looks younger. Brad Ausmus joked about, how do you like my backup to Jose Iglesias? Looks pretty good, doesn't he? Because Vizquel could probably still play. Gene Lamont looks a little bit fatter. Looks like he didn't miss many meals.
Well, because he ate Jim Leland, and Jim Leland
is that right? He ate Jim Leland
in his stomach.
Andy Dirks looks more Rock of Ages. Like what was the character Tom Cruise was? Stacey Jacks. In that he's got his hair longer. Ausmus commented about what he thinks about, you know, facial hair and that kind of thing, and he said, "I don't care if Andy Dirks wears his hair to his feet if he hits. I could care less." So we know where Brad Ausmus stands on that count. It seems that the executives in Major League Baseball, they voted the Doug Fister deal to Washington as the best offseason move by any team, meaning for the Nationals, not in return for the Tigers. Any impressions of the first few days of spring training down in Lakeland, Florida?
No, the Tigers have gotten to that point, Mark, where we are. Where, what is it all about? It's about the winning the World
Series. They've become the Spartans basketball team, have they?
I mean, they have. They've won three straight division titles, right? Mm-hmm. Central.
Three trips to the ALCS.
Okay, and they went to the World Series, what, once, right, out of that. And they didn't win. And they've been there twice since 2006, correct? Twice since 2006.
Twice since 2006.
And they haven't won. And last year, everybody...
in fact, they're 1-8 in their games in the
World Series game. So it comes down to that. So all the other stuff, the window dressing, it's all nice. And I can sit here and tell you, oh, they're going to have a great season in this. I don't feel as good as I did about the team last year. I picked the team last year to go to the World Series.
And yes, you did. Play the Dodgers.
Exactly. I'm not picking them to get to the World Series. I don't know what this team is going to do. I think they're going to miss Prince Fielder a lot. I think everybody's talking about they're going to score in different ways, and they want to run and bunt and manufacture runs. I'm sorry. How did they lose to the Red Sox?
Giving up two grand slams.
Thank you. Did the Red Sox manufacture runs?
They manufactured two grand slams.
Thank you. This talk is like the dumbest stuff I've ever heard, even from baseball people or so-called writers who cover the game. And, oh, it's better than them waiting on a three-run homer and this and that. Ask the Red Sox. Not one, Mark, two. They were no hit through six innings for the first three games of the ALCS.
Off your two best people in the bullpen, yeah.
It's about, I'm sorry. Yes,
well, I can't disagree with you, and here's why. Because, first of all, there's no controversy going into this spring training other than the fact you have a new manager. The trades were made, the moves were made. Ian Kinsler's at second. Cabrera moves back to first. Nick Castellanos is probably the only person that we have to see if he can handle the situation. Austin Jackson is set. Torrey Hunter is set. Avila is set. You got the combination, if you want to go Rajai Davis and Andy Dirksen left. So that's kind of set. Starting staff is set. Drew Smyly moves in. Fister goes out. The bullpen is set. They added Chamberlain. They added Joe Nathan. There's really nothing. There's no spots available. I mean, Steve Lombardozzi might be a backup. Don Kelly is everybody's hero. I don't know why, but he is. He stays. He's the all-time Tiger. Everybody loves Don Kelly. So the only thing left, like you said, is to do it again. Got to do the exact same thing. See, you can't win the World Series unless you win, get to the playoffs again.
Right.
So you got to do the exact, here you go again. You got to win the division. You got to get to the ALCS. You got to win that to get to the World Series. So you're right. They've done three in a row. Gotten a one World Series out of those three. And Leland, of course, in 06.
And that's why Leland, I don't care what anybody says. Leland didn't step down. He was told to step down. Mark, just for that reason. You look at the money that they spent. And the disappointment. Is it fair to put it on Leland? Yes, it is. You know why I always say that? You can't have it both ways.
Because he would have been trumpeted had he won it all. They would have put him on his shoulders and let him down Woodward.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
You can't have it.
I can't argue here.
People say the same thing. Oh, in 2006, when they went to the World Series, Mark, he could have been elected governor here. Remember, it was like the most unbelievable. Back then, nobody said it was, they gave Leland all the credit. But then when they lose, they say, "Oh, well, you gotta blame it on the players." No, what is it? So if you're gonna give Leland credit when they win, you gotta give him credit blame when they lose.
No, this I agree with because in 06, remember again, this is part of the article. Read the article about Brad Ausmus. Remember how 2005 was. This is not a manager who is coming off Alan Trammell and 300 losses in 3 years. And remember what people describe. What would the word you use that described the 06 season? What word was used when people saw what was happening? What word was used every day for the 06 season?
I don't know. Lightning.
Magical.
Magical. I was going to say lightning in a bottle.
It was magic. And you know what? Yes, we gave Leland a lot of credit in 06 because the previous 15 years have been brutal. This is not that situation for Brad Ausmus. He is in a must-win now. We've already seen the act getting to the ALCS.
Right.
Three straight times. Anything less than a World Series championship is failure.
And we saw, let me see, how did the Rangers beat the Tigers? Let me see, did they manufacture runs?
Nelson Cruz hit six home runs.
That, I just don't get
it. Well, I don't think you should diss the home. Earl Weaver said, give me pitching in a three-run ding. Right. That's all I care about.
But Mark, but people don't get it. They will be so frustrated because Miguel will, I will sit here right now. He will not have close to the years he's had.
Not an MVP season?
No, he won't. No power in the lineup other than him. Why would you pitch to him? And everybody says, oh, Victor Martinez bats 320. Nice. Go look at his stats. Mark, 12 home runs. What was he, first or second?
I was an advocate for getting, I wanted Nelson Cruz here because at least he gave you a guy who you had to fear in the lineup could pop one at any moment. They don't right now have that guy other than Cabrera. You're absolutely right.
And that's what Prince gave them. You know, I got it. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. He was terrible in the postseason. But during the regular season, you had to pitch to Cabrera because if you put him on, Prince might take you out of the yard for a two-run jack. Now with Martinez, there's a chance he could wrap into a double play. Like I said, he's first.
Led the league. Led the league.
Wasn't first, I think, in AL. And if he does, he had 12 or 13 home runs. He's not going to kill you. So you're willing to. And if he gets a single or a double, Cabrera still can't score. So it's not the end of the world if you put him on.
Well, we got plenty of time to continue to break it down. But, again, read the piece on Brad Ausmus on parkandthemen.com because it kind of outlines exactly what you were talking about, which is that Ausmus is on the clock. The clock starts now. He doesn't get the benefit of a couple of years or the benefit of having that magical kind of season that Leland had in 2006 after he followed the Alan Trammell Act of 300 losses in 3 years. Let's talk about Derek Jeter. Retiring after 2014, going on a little victory ride like Mariano went on. Turns 40 on June 26th.
I hate the people who are like, oh, he just wants to get a rocking chair and go. Dude, the guy played 20 years. He's a Hall of Famer, Mark. He's won World Series MVP, Rookie of the Year, MVP. What? Really?
Wait, am I missing some bad-mouthing Derek Jeter people?
People are saying that he's a Punch and Judy hitter. If he didn't play in New York, he wouldn't be up. Blah, blah, blah. Some of the stuff that people are so... I'm like, what?
Here's facts of the case. He's 184 hits away right now from 3,500. He could finish sixth all-time with 104 hits.
Sixth?
He does pass Carl Yastrzemski for sixth all-time with 104. Here's the previous five guys ahead of him. Pete Rose, Ty Cobb, Hank Aaron, Stan Musial, Tris Speaker.
That's unbelievable.
That's it. That's with 104 hits to finish his career. So the 184 gets him to 3,500, which is, I guess, a significant number, but 104 passes Yastrzemski for sixth all-time. The one thing I did see was, and I thought it bothered me a little bit, sometimes guys should have known when to quit. He should have left earlier. This is what I saw. Hold on. Should have left earlier. I don't know who said it, but it's a great line. They said, I'd rather stay a year or two longer than a year or two too short. Meaning I didn't want to stop when I didn't really believe that I was really done with my talent level. So I'd rather stay a year longer than a year shorter.
Everybody said he was finished. And he came back, Mark, that year when he hit the... got his 3,000, hit the home run. I covered that game at Yankee Stadium. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. You want to talk about picture perfect. Remember, he's 5 for 5. And hit number 3,000 was a home run. It was magical. It was really one of those moments.
There's that word again.
It was. But Derek Jeter, and here's a plug, and you should definitely do this. Go to theshadowleague.com and check out. We reprinted the column I wrote in 1998 about Derek Jeter when he was 24. When Derek Jeter opened up to me, Mark, about growing up biracial, it's the first time ever he spoke about what he went through, what people called him, you know.
In a tough area of Kalamazoo.
In Kalamazoo. There's a great story about it. He got his brand new car. You got to read it. It really is a good read, Mark. No one had ever gotten Derek Jeter to open up about it. And I always, to this day, of all the things that I've ever been able to do, to get that guy to trust me to write his story on a sensitive topic like that. And I'll never forget, he had a big charity
event. He doesn't bring it up a lot.
No, he doesn't. But he had a big charity event, Mark, after the column came out in Newsday. And I was there with my then wife, Camille. He invited me, and me and Camille showed up. We're standing there. He's across the room we're in. He comes over, and says hello and meets my wife and all this stuff and, you know, whatever. And then he says, hey, Mom and Dad, come here. This is the guy, Rob, who wrote that column about whatever. I mean, I just thought that was the nicest thing in the world.
We all kind of know that Derek Jeter is almost that too-good-to-be-true kind of guy for the last 20 years in many ways. I mean, he has that persona. He's been that way since high school. I did two crazy pieces on him.
Wacky?
Wacky pieces. Wacky. Do I have to use the word wacky, for you to get that line out of you?
Wacky.
We did a little bit of wacky.
No, you wacky.
But in high school, Kalamazoo Central. So I think he knew it. He was very respectful then. He's been that way his whole life. He just lives his life that way.
But
I do think that's interesting to hear. I don't think I've read that piece.
You got to read it, Mark. 1998. It's
that was still in the Shadow League?
No. Who I wrote it for? I wrote it for Newsday. Oh, we reprinted it because I just thought it was... A lot of people.
So there was no Shadow League in 98.
No. 98. There was no internet.
Barely.
Okay, let me give you my other two things about him, real quick. I know I'm giving you the Derek Jeter. I'll get off my knees in a minute, but let me tell you the thing that I also respect about him. He's got his own world. He's a big time star, Mark. When he sees me, do you know what he says to me?
Mm.
Two things. First, he goes when I started doing First Take a lot. Oh, big TV star now. Like, I remember you win, kind of like that.
Right.
Number two, how's the hot dog spot? Mark, almost every single...
Well, he associates that with you, though.
No, that's... I know, but he didn't have to ask.
I understand.
Hey. You don't think that's cool that he asked about the hot dog joke?
Dude, I think that your relationship with Jeter is kind of a neat deal. I think that's special for a guy who doesn't actually literally work full-time in New York.
And I don't cover... Right, I'm not... Right. I was there when his career started. You know, I started.
So you get nothing out of having a relationship with Jeter because you don't get the benefit of it. Was not like you were having some relationship with, you know, again, Cabrera or someone and touting how great he is and you're getting off your knees for Miguel and that kind of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, as we know nowadays. That's beside the point. But for the people that still said that he should have left earlier, I'm not sure what earlier they're talking about, and here's the reason. In 2012, lest we forget, 216 hits, 32 doubles.
Well, that was the year before. Everybody thought the year before. Remember, he had the bad year, and everybody was saying,
wasn't that
bad. He came back. I know.
15 homers, a .316 batting average, and a .362 OBP. Have a nice day. Mark Mulder ruptured his Achilles during drills. Michigan State's Mark Mulder. He was trying to make a comeback with the Angels.
He came back. Nobody cared.
Yeah, he came back, and then he walked right out again in a boot. So Mulder, at age 36, had to give it up. I guess his son was crying when it happened. But he actually, you know, when you're...
That was because his son saw his ERA. That's
Don't rip my Spartan. Now
it,
I'm going to...
It had nothing to do with his injury.
But you know what, though? I got to tell you, I don't know if you've ever been 36 before or older. The ankles are like one of the first... The ankle slash calf area when you're running is one of the first things to go. And I bet you Mulder didn't even think about the fact that you're not 26 anymore. You're 36 years old, and you're trying to push it just like you did 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And let's face it, for a minute, he was one of the better left-handed pitchers in baseball with the Oakland A's. Maybe for more than a minute. He had a nice career, and I know how desperately Mark wanted to come back, you know, having that Spartan blood in him, the Spartan will and all that. But that ain't going to happen. Again, it was over for Mulder at age 36 with the Angels. And the Braves...
I'm not mad at him, Mark. You know what? They see all that money being tossed
around. Oh, no. You go for it, man. Mulder still thinks he's got an arm left. It's the lower half of the body that you can't control when you're 36. Your arm's pretty good still. I mean, to this day, Denny McClain, I can still bring it in the high 80s, maybe low 90s. It's not the arm that, you know, let Denny down. It was the rest of it there.
Same thing. Yeah, Mickey Lolich with all that...
Mickey Lolich, though,
can do
it.
With all that,
donut
grease
shop.
From the donuts, you know, like he's wiping his brow or whatever, all that stuff. You think that stuff used to sweat into the donut mix? Because, you know, Mickey used to sweat a lot from the brow.
I guarantee you.
I know.
He was a sweater.
A big sweater.
But he and Denny can both still bring... It's not about the arms, necessarily. It's about the rest of your body trying to get to that motion to be able to do that on a consistent basis. Craig Kimbrell does it well. The Braves gave him 4 years, $42 million this weekend. And I was looking at that number. I said, okay, he's making $10 million, a little more than $10 million a year as a closer. I started looking at his numbers. Boy, did the Braves get a steal on this guy.
They got a hometown discount. That guy goes on the open market. Are you kidding?
This is his last three seasons. 138 saves. ERA, this is last 3 years combined, 138 saves, an ERA of 148, opposing batting average 158, and strikeouts per nine, 15.
No, he's a monster. He's a monster.
Jesus Louises. Joe Nathan, you got a lot to live up to at 39. That's why I fear Joe Nathan as the Tiger closer, by the way. He's 39 years old, pushing 40.
Well, you don't know, and when it goes, it goes. You know what I mean?
And so, when it goes, it doesn't come back. And just ask Jose Valverde. Now,
who just signed with the Mets.
Papa G is a Met.
Minor league deal. That's how pathetic the Mets are.
Well, they've gotten to a point. They'll take anybody. They just need bodies.
They brought, what you call back, too, from the Red Sox? Dice K.
Yeah, Matsuzaka's back there.
He got shelled. I watched the Saturday game where the Tigers played at Citi Field. Got shelled. Cabrera hit a moonshot off of him. I don't think he has anything left.
NBA All-Star Weekend in New Orleans. Andre Drummond was the big MVP of the Rising Stars game.
35. I'm sorry, Mark. 35 is pretty impressive.
25 boards. And he broke the trophy. Well, he didn't really break the trophy. The dude handing him the trophy kind of broke the trophy. But what a piece of crap trophy. Because it's like sitting on a little pedestal. It's a little tiny thing. And the thing... But did you see AD's face when it happened? It was... He had this like old face. Oh my God! I mean, he knows it's on TV as he's breaking the damn thing.
Well, because I think the all the money went for Stern's retirement party, and that was just the leftovers from petty cash. So they
paid a lot for David Stern's retirement. I almost said Howard Stern's retirement party because he had his 60th birthday party not too long ago.
That was hot,
big time. Oh yeah, the Howard Stern birthday party, big time. We didn't get invited. We should get invited to things like that.
We used
that.
To work with him.
I know. He loves us. Come on, Howard. Where was the little summer for the effort? John Wall won the dunk contest. Trey Burke and Damian Lillard won the skills competition. But AD was kind of the prize of the weekend down there in New Orleans.
People who maybe haven't really seen him. You know, you heard.
Because they're not on national TV.
But now you're looking and saying, and then when I'm sure people found out that he's only 20, are saying, are you 35 and 25 is ridiculous on a national platform.
I'm going to ask you a stupid question about Charles Barkley, but I'm going to bring it up anyhow. He was talking about Andre Drummond, and he says he's one of them. You know, he was giving him his due, but he says Andre Drummond's teammates, quote-unquote, are idiots up in Detroit. They're not going to win anything. Quote-unquote again, got some idiots on that team, some talented people who will never, ever get it. What did you think the point of Barkley? Well,
but Charles should be better on that because he should just say it. You know, like
who are the idiots?
Yeah, see, when you do that.
Brandon Jennings an idiot? He means Jennings and Smith. You know that.
Yeah, of course. But when you do that, you don't really. Mark, if you're going to be that hard or whatever, you should say it because you're already kind of going around it, saying it. And if you're too sheepish to name people, then you shouldn't say it at all. And basically, I don't know if he's thinking about that they should throw the ball into the post every time. I don't think you could play that kind of basketball. But I'm sure that's what he's talking about the numbers thing.
Pistons are 22-30. The John Lawyer era continues Tuesday at the Palace against the Bobcats, Michael Jordan and Charlotte. Too bad Jordan ain't playing. It's a back-to-backer. They then go to Charlotte on Wednesday. And then three straight at home, Atlanta, Dallas, and Golden State. So it's a big week for the Pistons once they get back from the break. And I got a piece that I'm going to be posting. I already wrote it. And it has to do with what you brought up last time on the podcast. And I call it the case for Tom Izzo as the next coach of the Pistons. Because the more I thought about what you said, I said, let me see if I can make a case. And I made a good one. And it's only going to be... we're going to do a. This is the first time we've done this. Just an exclusive piece for anybody listening to the podcast right now. I won't even post it till a little bit later. So if you're listening to the podcast, I'll put it up probably the next couple of days. But it really kind of chronicles why Tom Gorris, why now, why Izzo, what's the point, how Michigan State can come back from it, and who should be the next coach of the Spartans. And it's a no-brainer, and it's a slam dunk. And I think people will be happy if Izzo leaves for this guy to be the next head coach.
The two Brendans, Sir and Malone.
It ain't the two Malone.
How about that, Mark? I used to love that.
Brendan Sir and Brendan Malone.
Right?
What's Brendan Sir up to? Everybody seen him?
I don't know. But I just used to love that. And
I used to love Brendan Sir.
And the two Brendans.
Not love.
Sir and Malone.
Was that Ken Calvert?
Yes.
KC?
I love that.
Ken Calvert did that.
As a visiting writer, I used to just get a kick out of it.
One more NBA thing, and we'll take a little pause for the cause, which doesn't mean much to you because on the podcast you can listen to it whenever you want. And it'll just follow along anyhow. But one more NBA thing. David Stern, speaking of Stern, was elected by the Contributors Committee to the Hall of Fame. He's already in the Hall. Rob's favorite Hall of Fame, although I notice you have a Basketball Hall of Fame sticker sitting right over there, or a magnet of some sort.
He sent that to me because I'm on the... Since I've been there, you get on some sort of list, and they're looking for donations. So I just took the sticker and I...
The Hall of Fame is the weirdest Hall of Fame. Kay Yao is that Hall of Fame. Nancy Lieberman is in that Hall of Fame. Isaiah Thomas is that Hall of Fame.
So they're looking for donations. So I put it on my refrigerator, but my check didn't get mailed out.
So David Stern is elected. He will be inducted in August. There's four others, too, four other old guys. I think it's Slick Leonard, Sarunas Marshallonis got in.
Gesundheit.
Speaking of Sochi. Two other guys, Guy Rogers, who played with the Bucks and the Bulls, I think, way back in the 60s, 50s, 60s.
What about Steve Rogers? He was pretty good.
Not the pitcher Steve Rogers.
Wasn't he good?
For a while, yeah.
The Expos?
Yeah, absolutely. I hated him. He used to kill the Cubs. Just kill them.
Kill the Mets during that era, Steve Rogers.
Here's who's up for, they have to wait till April 7th to find out. Kevin Johnson, mayor of Sacramento. Alonzo Mourning. Tim Hardaway, senior. Mitch Richmond, and Detroit's very own Spencer Haywood. Do you think Spence should be in the Hall of Fame, Rob? Because I do. With all those other people in that Hall of Fame, in the Naismith Hall of Fame, which everyone gets into, Spencer Haywood was a groundbreaker. He did it in two leagues, both the ABA and the NBA, and champion in both.
And the other thing you just said, the groundbreaker about the being able to go to leave school early. I mean, he paved the way. He was one of those...
Played for Will Robinson at Pershing High School.
No, you're right. I think you're right on that.
So I don't even know why it's taking this long to get Spencer Haywood. So I'm openly campaigning for my guy Spencer, who spends half the year in Las Vegas, half the year in Detroit. I've seen him actually at a clothing store in Vegas three times.
He just hit me up on my Facebook page.
Spencer did?
Yeah, because he also heard the news. He's at the All-Star game, you know, about Angelo Henderson.
Oh, yeah, and let's just say it right now before we do that. Our condolences to Angelo's wife and the family, if you didn't hear.
Felicia and son Grant.
Right.
And
he passed away this weekend.
Natural causes, with 51 years old.
Is it a heart attack?
I don't know.
Anyhow, we worked with Angelo at CHB. We did some tweeting on that, and I got a nice tweet back from the good folks at Radio 1.
And you know, I work with him at the Detroit News. And
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Right, for the Wall Street Journal. I mean, unbelievable. And just an all-around great guy. And I told you, I was heartbroken when I heard that. I mean, that one hurt, Mark. I really hurt.
Well, we saw Angelo every day for a good year and a half, pretty much. And we called him our guy. I mean, we had fun with him. We talked serious with him. And he was just a king amongst princes. And, you know, I really hold him in high regard. And that's not just saying that because he's passed. I would have said that to anybody if they just asked me about Angelo Henderson, which in the past they have. I've seen Angelo, you know, a few times since we left WCHB. And it was a real shocker to see that because so many people are going way before their time. Not that that always happened, but every time you see something like that go on, you just kind of remember, wow, life is short, baby. Take advantage of your time. That's all I can tell you.
And have your stuff in order.
Well, in many ways.
No, you know what I'm just saying. Don't take for granted. You just don't know. You really don't.
So again, Angelo Henderson passed away at the age of 50.
You know what, Mark? We're not going to do any witch. Let's just have a moment of silence and break.
More podcasts in a sec. Okay, tough stuff for sure. Just taking a pause to talk about what we got going here. Dennis Rodman is out of rehab, says he's not an alcoholic. If you get a chance, read my piece that's up on parkfromtheman.com about when Rodman was just the worm here in Detroit. And Rob and I both spent the past week on a couple of podcasts. Everybody's doing podcasts. All they got are digital archives. Everybody's got a podcast. 2014, you got a podcast? I got a podcast. I was on the same guy as you were, Sean Stewart.
I didn't make it on.
Oh, you didn't?
You know what happened?
I saw it on the thing. He was promoting you like crazy.
Yeah, but I couldn't get in. You know when you called in and there's a number and a code?
Yeah.
Every time I did it, it would not accept the code.
Really?
I don't know if it was my phone or what was going on, Mark.
Oh.
I tried it 10 times.
He was so looking forward to you going on.
I was bummed. I was talking to him on Facebook. I said, I can't get through. And they said, try it this way, try it that way. I tried every single way. I kept calling, pounded in, and the recording.
No,
machine.
I know you would try to get out.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It would be one time and out.
No, I tried 10 times. Because I'm not going to commit to it and then do that to the guy. I mean,
Well, I was on the Detroit Sports Podcast. You can check them at DetroitSportsPodcast.com, Adam and John. Great guys. Had a great time with them. They kept me on there for like an hour and 20 minutes or something. We talked about everything under the sun.
Well,
it was great.
Want? They had 2 hours to kill.
Yeah, that's right. But imagine they wanted to kill time talking about my career. Like,
Mark, don't be so what you call
like, what a waste of time. No, I'm kidding them. I mean, I said I'd talk about whatever they wanted to. And I told some stories about Miami and whatnot.
Great career.
Did I hear had? What was that? Wait, say that again.
You have a great career.
Oh, I heard had. I heard past tense. You can't fool me, son. I heard past tense on that one. So thanks again to Adam and John. I'm giving them a big shout out. Shout out to Adam and John for Detroit Sports Podcast. Nice little
Mike
website.
And Don.
Mike and Don? No. Adam and John. What is that, Mike and Don? You say that all
Washington.
The time. Is that a radio team?
Yeah, that was one of Washington.
Why do I know? I don't live in Washington, D.C. I know the sports junkies.
But that's the one from
WTOP.
No, the one that used to be on with the sports junkies. Don and Mike. What did I just say it was?
Mike and Don?
Don and Mike.
I don't know. Okay, fine. Oh. So there you go, boys. Little shout out on the Parker and the Man podcast. All right, can I get to the stupid Spartans, please?
It's all yours.
Okay. You know what? It was a pathetic performance against Nebraska Sunday. Pathetic is the word I would use. Tim Miles completely outcoached Tom Izzo. I looked this guy up. I didn't know Tim Miles from, you know, Angela Miles. Tim Miles has been at Nebraska now 2 years. He came from Colorado State.
But they made a song about him. We can go for miles and miles. We can
go for it, man. Keep singing. You're going to love what I'm saying here. Tim Miles went to something called the University of Mary, M-A-R-Y. It's a Catholic church school based in Bismarck, North Dakota. I guess he played ball at U-Mary. Beautiful school. I saw a picture. It's on a hill overlooking the city. It's gorgeous, but backgrounds, mountains and stuff. Looks like a really cool place to go to school. He never has had much, you know, other than Colorado State. He worked at a couple other small schools, but he's becoming the coach du jour. I don't even want to say Izzo's fit to be tied with his team after being outcoached by Miles. That's the first win ever by the Huskers over Michigan State. 60-51 was the final. This is a number 9 team in the country at home against a 14-10 Nebraska team that was 1-7 on the road in true road games. And the one win was at Northwestern, of course. Spartans finished 27 points under their average, and they were at home. They averaged 78 points a game. They scored 51. Nebraska went on a 13-4 start. And the Spartans, even though they got back to at one point, what, I don't know, 5-3, they could never figure it out. This Teran Petaway, 23, this Walter Pitchford, 18, All-American in my eyes after what they did at Breslin. Gary Harris had his 18 points, had his average. Adrian Payne fouled out. Keith Appling was back. He scored a robust 2 points. MSU shot 34% from the field. They were 5-for-24 in triples, and they had 11 turnovers.
5-for-what?
5-for-24.
Are you kidding me? They put up that many threes? Mark, that's horrible.
It was. I'm telling you, I'm going to say this right now. I've seen some bad Spartan hoops even during...
5-for-24. I didn't even know the number was like that.
I've seen some bad Spartan hoops even in the Izzo era. There were obviously, especially early on, there were some bad games. This was the worst Michigan State game performance I have seen since the 1979 championship year when they went to Northwestern to the old McGaw Hall, Irvin and Gregory Kelser and Ron Charles and the gang, and got their asses kicked by 18 points against a terrible Northwestern team coached by former Phil Jackson buddy Tex Winter.
Tex Winter, wow.
Tex Winter was there. It was a year after Billy McKinney left Northwestern. McKinney wasn't even... Tony Allen was the star guard, not McKinney. That's how long it's been since I've seen a Spartan performance this bad. And the one thing about Izzo that I'll give him a million more is that he will take himself down as much... He'll agree with me that Tim Miles clearly outcoached him. Now, what's bothersome is this. They're 21-5. They're 10-3 in the Big Ten. They're still tied for first. Since the 18-1 start, they've gone loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So they're 3-4 since the 18-1 start. These are all Big Ten games. Well, the Georgetown game is in there too. This is the worst possible time to look this bad. And then as I'm watching the Michigan game get ripped by Wisconsin, and Bo Ryan does it again, this time at Chrysler.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
I know, because you don't think Wisconsin gets the kind of kid to be able to even... Look, he has, I think, twice as many 20-win seasons as the entire history of the program the first 100 years. So he's doing things that, yes, does not normally
when
happen.
When I look at his roster, please, Mark, please tell me who's going to the NBA from...
Well, Frank Kaminsky has a chance to go to the NBA.
But I'm just saying, over the years.
And
right?
Even Jimmy Jackson's kid, Trayvon Jackson, has a chance to go to the league. Kaminsky had 25 points, 11 rebounds. Frank the Tank, Kaminsky. Wisconsin, this is unbelievable. Forget the state game for a second.
It's unbelievable.
You're not going to believe this. All right, so Wisconsin has 2 turnovers the entire 40-minute game. Turn the ball over twice. There's no more...
not once. I've been here twice.
Now listen to this stat line for Michigan. You ready? Michigan had no steals, no blocks, and 5 assists. Rob, that was the entire game. No steals, no blocks, 5 total assists. You think they missed Trey Burke a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Caris LeVert at 25, he played well. He was the one guy who really did. I don't know what happened to Nick Stauskas. I don't know where the hell he went, but he's got nothing going. And Michigan is now 273rd in the country in rebounding. So that's where John Beilein's really got an issue with Mitch McGarry out. They can't board. So Michigan's 18-7, 10-3 in the conference. Wisconsin is still only 8-5 in the conference, 21-5 overall. Spartans still have a lead with Michigan. They're tied for first, and they play each other a week this week, Sunday. This time the game is at Chrysler at high noon. High noon for the Spartans in Michigan at Chrysler Center. I actually called it Center for the first time. Michigan State has a game before then. They play at Purdue, Matt Painter, on Thursday. So the Spartans have to go to West Lafayette on Thursday. Michigan has nothing to do until they play the Spartans again on Sunday the 23rd. Judging by those two games today, Rob Parker, whether you watched them or not, from the numbers I just told you, how can two teams that think that, or at least one, that thinks it's got something going, and here I'm trying to make a case why Tom Izzo should be the coach of the Pistons, and I'm just ripping him for a one-game thing with Nebraska. I just never saw that coming. No, I can't remember the last time I never saw a loss coming like this one. The Huskers should have been easy fare. Should have been no problem. Dog meat. Take your 15 to 20 point win at home and go home and do your thing and get ready for Purdue. The fact that they lost this game by 9, and then the fact that at home in Ann Arbor, you lose by 13, even though better, obviously, Wisconsin team, and Nebraska has been better. I'm giving them that. The Huskers are better. No question. But what does this say to you about where these two programs are, or these two teams are, at least right now on, you know, middle of February?
They're in the hunt, Mark. They're going to be in the hunt, both of them. We saw what Michigan did. Okay, they went 3 in a row against top 10 opponents. Had it ever been done? Or it hadn't been done in a long time, right? So they obviously have talent. It's not the same team as when Trey Burke was there, obviously. There will be no miracle run.
Burke and Hardaway. Right. Hardaway had a nice rising skill. He had 36 points or something that game.
Oh, yeah.
So no throw Hardaway Jr. in there, too.
Yeah, yeah. Can't do it all for Trey Burke. But he was the player of the year and all that. And he did make some big shots for them. What was that, the Kansas game when he hit the big three? Was it Kansas, right? I don't know. Michigan stays the same way, Mark. We knew it was going to be an undefeated season. They got off to the great start or whatever. But this is the thing. It all comes down to the tournament. I mean, you just look at it. You know they're going to get in. You know they're going to have an opportunity. And this team will be judged by the postseason. Nothing else. Nothing else. Is it going to be?
I'm judging him today by Nebraska, unfortunately.
No, it's a terrible. I understand that. But, Mark, it is what it is. It's a bad loss. I agree with you. But that doesn't dictate, today's loss doesn't dictate whether or not they're going to do anything in the postseason. That's all I'm trying to say. You agree with that?
Yeah, because you hold it to that same Tiger standard now, and you'll always hold Izzo to that. You've seen the act. I've got to get through the season to get to March, to get into the tournament.
We used to do it with
Can
the
you
Wings.
Win six games?
People used to be mad at us. Talk about what? They're making the playoffs. They're going to have a chance to win the cup, right? They're going to get in the... Oh, well, they lost last night 4-0 to Minnesota. Okay. Jimmy Howard looked terrible. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, because of course you're going to lose games during the course of a season.
So you wanted to tell on that game. Okay, that's it.
Runs over.
Right. You really want me to tell? They lost.
I know we get reactionary to the games. I know.
Right? So we should write Michigan State off today. Oh, yeah. No way.
No, I got Izzo going to the Pistons. What are you talking about?
There you go. I got you.
Do you have any idea who I'm thinking is the next coach at Michigan State?
No, I don't.
I want to tell you. You have to read the piece. Just a little lighter side of the college basketball world. Greg Campy from Oakland University. You like Greg Campy?
I like him a lot.
He's got that big tuft of hair. You know, he's always had that same haircut for 30 years. And he's been at Oakland U now for 30 years. And his kid, Travis Bader, is the all-time three-point shooter in the history of college basketball. And getting towards 500 triples for his career, by the by. Was named by CollegeInsider.com's Nicole Shea, who is awfully hot, I might add, as one of the 100 sexiest men in college basketball. And I guess this is the second time he's made the list, but not for like 10, 15 years. Sexiest, it's like coaches and media, not players, in all of college basketball. I'll tell you who else is on the list. Mark Montgomery, who played at MSU, is now the head coach at Northern Illinois. John Borovich, who was an assistant at MSU, is with Montgomery at Northern. Michigan's Laval Jordan is on the list. Wayne Tinkle. Do you know Wayne Tinkle, Rob?
No, but sometimes I have to.
You have to Wayne Tinkle?
Hey.
I just thought I'd throw that name there because it's funny. He's at Montana. But the next name I give you, now everybody knows if you've seen Reggie Theus through his NBA career, his coaching career, he is a good-looking man. He is...
Anybody who tells you that they don't know whether he's in a... There's no doubt about it.
Right. Ever since his
UNLV... He's one of those guys.
Since his UNLV days... he's a good-looking guy. He was that way in the pros. He was that way in college. He's that way as a coach. He, to this day, I don't know what he is now, 60, maybe close to 60, still a good-looking guy.
I'm not going to argue with you.
I've got to use your line about Marv Levy, though. If you're going to put the guy who lost the four Super Bowls in the Hall of Fame, where do you put the guy who won them? If you're going to put Greg Campy on the same list as Reggie Theus, there's got to be an issue there. There's got to be one list. Greg, you're a fine man. There's got to be one list for you and another list for Reggie Theus. That's all I'm saying is you can't be, no offense, sir, you can't be on the same list as Reggie Theus. I'm showing Reggie a little bit of too much man love. And Reggie now is the head coach at Cal State Northridge. He's on. I think Pat Knight might be on the list. He got fired today.
Do you really think he's...
Reggie?
Yeah, is he 60?
He was on the Final Four UNLV Tarkanian team in 77. How old would that make him?
22. So I'll say he was 22 then.
What year I graduated high school?
77. If he was 22, right?
Well, you know, you're 50.
No, I know. I covered Reggie Theus with the Nets.
Okay.
I could tell you stories.
Well, we've all heard some stories about Reggie Theus. I
mean, just the what you call
He is a good-looking dude.
Would you stop? I'll never forget what you call him. I'll give you a quick story. I shouldn't tell a story. Sam Bowie room next to him, you know, on the row.
Was it a sexual story?
Yeah, but the bottom line is that after it was all done, how's that? Sam grabbed his ice bucket to go out the door to see who was leaving. You know what I mean? Because he just this. That's how much of a racket was going on.
Obviously, you're not going to tell me the whole story.
No.
Not on the podcast.
Pat
Knight, though, fired from Lamar, Bobby Knight's son. So I don't know if he was. I thought he might have made that list.
Secretary?
No, he didn't beat up anybody. No, he just couldn't coach well. And Lamar.
Wow, what a shock that is.
Yeah. So, you know, good for Greg Campy. He's on the same list with some big timers. That's all I'm saying. Let's get to the Lions. Some news this week stuff. Obviously, they dumped Nate Burleson and Louis Delmas to save about $11.5 million on the cap. Nate alone was around $7.5 against the cap. And all I said about Nate Burleson leaving, and I know everybody likes Nate. It's not about liking Nate. We always talk about it's not about liking the guy. 50-catch guys, and I'll give him 50, are a dime a dozen in the NFL. I mean, the landscape is littered with guys who can catch 50 balls and make a lot less than Nate Burleson was making. There was no hometown discount there. Delmas could still return, not at the price he was making, though. Louis D, you know, I had a guy say, well, good riddance to Delmas because he missed all those games last year. I said, really? You think he missed a lot of games? He said, must have missed at least a couple, three, four. Wait a second, this is great. I said, you do realize he missed practices. That he did. He didn't practice a lot during the week. Here's how many games he missed last year. There were 1,032 possible defensive snaps in the 16 games the Lions played. You know how many snaps Delmas missed out of 1,032? 14. He missed no games.
No, he was healthy.
He played the entire season. Had a career high, hold me back, 3 interceptions.
Did he?
It's a real Ryan McNeil there with 3.
But he had, but coming into the season, I think he had only had 2.
2 total.
If it's, right. Of his career.
But he's not much of a pick guy. He's a safety. Not all safeties make picks. I mean, he's not a corner.
But he didn't make any plays, though. That was my issue.
Well, then he ain't worth the money. But for those that think that Delmas missed games, he missed practices. It's practice.
Practice. Practice. You're talking about practice?
14 snaps he missed. Over 1,000 defensive snaps. Dom Raiola signed a 1-year extension at a very low, I mean, $1.5 million.
You know what? I give Dom credit. Yeah. You know why? Mark, tell me what job Dom's going to walk out of playing football and go get a job to make 1.5.
Well, I don't think he's much of an analyst down the line. He probably won't be in TV, I wouldn't think. Maybe he could.
Mark, that would be the just job. Tell me the job for 1.5.
You could end up at 1.5 if you're an analyst on a Fox or a CBS.
You don't have that many of those guys.
And he's not a big enough name. He's a center.
Mark, come on. You know what guys are.
Well, Tony Siragusa wasn't much of one. He's making $3 million a year or more than
that. No, he's not making that much.
You don't think he's making...
No.
I heard 3.
No. I don't believe that at all. I don't.
Goose?
Don't believe it.
I don't know, dude.
I don't believe it. I know how those things work and allow those guys. I'm going to say, Mark, we talked about it before.
He does a lot more stuff, though, than just
16 games.
He's got like a diaper commercial.
They were paying what you call it.
He's wearing diapers.
Yeah, they were paying John Madden, $7 million. He's the lead anchor, you know, lead play-by-play guy. There's no way Sarah Gustin's making that. To work 16 weekends a year?
I know, but dude, he's been there a long time now.
I'm not saying he's not getting paid, but he's not making that kind
of money. Well, I don't think Raiola still has a name like even Sarah Gustin.
All right, well, my point is, you still want me? You're going to pay me $1.5 million? I'll take it.
Sold?
Until they don't want me, right? That wouldn't be hard for
well,
me.
Well, and I figure Raiola doesn't want to start over again somewhere. He wants to stay here and do it here. And if Jim Caldwell's ready to have him. Let me ask you this, though. I kind of used, you know, there was no reason on that day that Burleson and Delmas had to lose their gigs or get released. Do you think there was a little bit of Jim Caldwell kind of pointing at the roster and saying, hey, and I know there's some positive influences with Burleson, but sometimes that could be looked on as negative, too, by coaches. Maybe like too much bluster in the locker room, that kind of thing. Do you think Caldwell might have said, you know what? See these two right here? If you happen to get rid of them, it won't kill me. Do you think there was a bit of that with Martin Mayhew in there?
Yeah, Mark. This is what killed me about people. See the Lions last year. 6-3. They won a division. Ran the table, right? Beat the Packers in the bit. Oh, no, that didn't happen. So, I'm sorry. Anybody on the squad can be replaced. It's just that simple.
Well, I even tweeted, Nate, unfortunately, I can lose with you, I can lose without
that's
you.
That's the point of it. And you know what?
For $7.5 million.
Get somebody young and hungry. That's what these teams have done. Mark, we've seen, how many people have we seen the Packers come and go with these guys, right? And they keep winning. So it's not the end of the world. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I'm just saying, what's your allegiance or holding on to with Nate Burleson? He's a great guy, but we're not talking about great guy. Nobody's hiring him to be a great guy.
What about Dominican Sue's long-term extension? I see a lot of people who are not thrilled about it, don't want it to happen, oppose him staying.
It's not going to happen, so it doesn't matter.
You think he's gone?
I think he's gone. And they won't even. I think it's his call, not the line. I think it's his call.
You don't think he likes it here anymore?
Nope, I don't think he has. Ever since that.
Well, I think he came in and liked it and then realized that.
Ever since that.
Well, that too. I think he has seen his own people turned on him.
People turned on him. He's a bad guy. He wants out. He don't want to be blamed for stuff. I believe that.
He's too heady to not at least think that. That's what I mean. He's not a dummy, and he says to himself, well, I don't care. I'll just stay in Hosline anything. And I think he has that kind of cerebral, wait a second. If you're not going to like me here, I'll take my wares.
I'll go somewhere else. And, you know, we're not winning
here. I agree with
that.
I don't think he's going to stay.
Right. And he also knows the deal. As much as Sue, let's be honest. Calvin Johnson, he's third. Can we say that? He doesn't have a glamorous position. He doesn't. Mark, if he was on the outside and he had 19 sacks, whoa, now you're talking different, right? He's in the inside. What did he have last year, 4 sacks?
Yeah, it's like nothing, but he's not doing
that. No, but that's not from that position. You're not going to get a lot of sacks, but I'm just saying you're supposed to cause havoc in there, right? Stop the run, whatever. I get it. But I'm talking about he knows he's number 3 here. And
I know this is going to sound strange, and it's the old be careful what you wish for. That's what I wrote with the Osmus thing. But be careful what you wish for if you just desperately want Sue to go bye-bye and say, well, we'll rely totally on Nick Fairley and anybody and his brothers to just man the defensive line. And I know it goes right back to, you know what, though, Dominican? I can lose with you. I can lose without you.
I know.
I know. But that's what you buy when you don't have success and you want to be an all-pro player. Does this all-pro player make a difference in my team? What difference did he make in the last half of the season last year? He made no difference. Zero. Nobody made a difference. Calvin Johnson didn't make a difference. Matthew Stafford didn't make a difference. David Akers didn't make... Nobody made a difference. Sam Martin did because he blew a couple of games. The punter spot. That's how important that spot is. Blew the Ravens game and part of the Giants game. So, you know, do with it what you want. But when you lose... That's to the losers go the spoils too, and the spoils means you're out of here sometimes, and you don't get a lot of, you know, loving Dominican Sue if you don't win. Jim Bob Cooter, we mentioned. I guess we did mention because I was telling you just like saying his name. But when I walked into Rob's place here, the Palatial Palace in Southfield, I said, "How about that Jim Bob Cooter?" Cooter, I could say Cooter all year. Legally, comes from Denver, was with Peyton Manning, quarterback coach now for Caldwell and for Joe Lombardi. In 2009, Jim Bob Cooter had an aggravated burglary charge where he supposedly crawled in a window and got into bed with a woman. He's had a couple of other issues in his life. Why does it feel like if I did that, I wouldn't get to be the position coach for Peyton Manning and get other jobs like that. Yet he's still doing his thing, which is fine. I mean,
no, but
it's all part of the process.
Like the other coach who went to Wendy's naked. I mean, he got to keep his gig. If a player had done
that. Yeah, he drove through the drive-thru with no pants on, and I guess he was looking for something, a Frosty to use to stir the...
No, he was looking for some sour cream. That wasn't sour cream for his baked potato.
Whatever. But he was physically ready to rock, if you know what I mean. And yes, he kept his gig.
He kept his gig. If that was a player, Mark, are you kidding? The league would have had a heart attack.
As opposed to what that guy had at the time of the Wendy's drive-thru. Right. Not a hard attack. But
right.
Okay. Anyhow, Jim Bob Cooter. I get to say Cooter. He's here anyhow, and that's the guy. James Robert Cooter is your new quarterback coach. I know you're very happy about that, Rob. The other thing I want to bring up with the NFL is Roger Goodell's salary, or the money, his compensation, pulled in $44.2 million in
that's just
2012. You should see the head.
That's a non-profit.
That's $44
million. That's so outrageous.
Do you think he's earning his $44 million, Rob?
Come on. Mark, I hate to tell you, you could be running that league, and it has nothing to do with him. Nothing.
Combine begins.
And they sold the Thursday night games. You saw that, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Right. CBS.
CBS, yeah. More money. Got the Thursday night game.
Because CBS is allowing it to be simulcast, so that the rates can't be, can't be as high, because it's not exclusive. You're not going to have, some people won't watch, but it's still CBS announcers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL Network's not paying anybody.
Right.
I don't know. It's a weird arrangement. If I'm CBS, I'm like, I don't want it to be on. Why would I want it to be on the NFL Network too?
Because the numbers for people watching the NFL Network are still so low, beyond your belief probably.
No, I know they're
that
low.
They almost are having it exclusively in a way. Nobody, and I don't mean nobody, bars and restaurants do, but most people at home, the numbers are very low for actual people at home watching on the NFL Network on those Thursday night games. I know it's hard to believe because it's an NFL game, but a lot of people still, to this day, say, I don't know where it is. I never see that Thursday night game because I can't find it. I don't know where it is on my cable. It's like station 924, and I don't get that, and then it doesn't look like... Sometimes it's still a pain in the ass. I know people just don't get with the technology, but that's the lament I have. Combine begins Saturday in Indianapolis, the NFL Combine. So we'll get to see some of these Spartans and Michigan people. And I want to see if Max Bolla speaks at the Combine. He did that one radio interview at the East-West Shrine Game, never talked about the suspension.
He's got to talk
for the Rose Bowl. I would think that at the Combine, it's going to come out what happened. And I'm bringing it up because no one else is. But that's my reason for caring about the NFL Combine this year, is to see if Max Bolla actually has a statement. He might even blow it off at the last minute if there's too much media, and just wait for his pro day, because everybody will still do pro days. But I want to know if he goes down to Indianapolis and starts to fess up as to what went on. And some of the details, Rob, the Brendan Gibbons story at Michigan, such a complex issue. More stuff is known now about the initial arrest back on November 20th, 2009, on the supposed rape charge. No criminal charges ever filed by Ann Arbor police. Not let go from the team until December 20th, 2013. In your mind, just answer this question. I want a yes or no, and you can expound if you want. Is it a cover-up by Mary Sue Coleman, David Brandon, and even Brady Hoke? What's going on the last 4 years?
Absolutely. Because a guy like that, Mark, and it's not fair. I've always said it's not fair, but it is how it is. Normally, when there's anything involved in that, you're immediately taken off campus. For him to still be on campus and dorms and female, I mean, that's a big, if that thing, Mark, would have happened again or some other circumstance, that school would have been S Creek. You know what I'm saying? Because there would have been, you mean you knew this happened and this was going on and this kid was allowed to stay on campus? I've seen plenty of kids, Mark, even with just the accusations, who have been dismissed from school. And
the Duke lacrosse story. Right. Remember the Duke lacrosse story?
They had
those guys convicted before anything even came out.
Yep.
It was the opposite way in Durham.
Right, absolutely. So that doesn't make any sense.
So do you think, if you find out that this was nothing more than that, that they knew stuff, they could have said, really,
of
them? Everybody. Mary Sue Coleman, yep. President, who may be gone anyhow.
Right.
Brandon and Brady Hoke.
Yep, everybody gone. It's just like the Penn State thing. People keep saying, well, you know, Joe Pa did what he was supposed to. He went to no, no, you did not do what you were supposed to.
Wasn't Rich Rodriguez actually the head coach when this started? Yeah. He was. Would you fire him again?
No, he's gone.
Fire him again, second time.
But you see what I'm saying? No, you didn't do what was right. You know, you didn't. And when you don't, and you put the school, the institution, at liable for not doing what you're supposed to, Mark, that stuff you can't play around with. You can't hide. Because it's going to look how much Penn State had to pay out. You want to go look at the money?
And it continues to this day. It ain't over yet by a mile.
And Mark, if more kids come out down the road and say, yeah, I was too, and I went to this camp, what are they going to say? If you went to his football camp or you were a 12-year-old.
You're talking about Brady Hoax?
No, I'm talking about Penn State. I'm just saying. And they're going to deny you payment? Oh, no, they'll probably write you a check, right?
Absolutely.
Let's see the records. Yeah, you were in his camp. You were in his camp when you were 12. Yeah.
No, it's payday.
Payday.
It was payday for everybody, yeah.
Right?
We knew it then. The minute it happened, it was payday. Mm-hmm.
I'll get in line. My name's not released.
And you get the candy bar with the check.
Thank you.
With the check, you get the payday candy bar. You're just going to see more and more come out about Brendan Gibbons. And the reason I just brought it up now is because I really didn't want to know definitively if you just thought, A, is it a cover-up? And should those three people, especially those three, maybe even more, going down the chain, should be let go in Ann Arbor from their various positions? You know, we didn't talk about Michael Sam that at all because of the John... the Mo Cheeks firing and the John Lawyer hiring as the interim coach. It was such a big deal with the Cheeks thing. The revelation that, of course, he's gay, Missouri defensive end, SEC co-player defensive player of the year with C.J. Mosley of Alabama. He graduated Missouri in December. He's a smart kid. We did talk about it on the Detroit Sports podcast with Adam and John. I did. He got a standing ovation at the Missouri basketball game. Next for him will be Combine Pro Day in Columbia. And then draft in May.
My school.
Yeah, you're a Missouri guy. You know that
I went there.
Okay, you know the temperature of that campus.
It's a small town walk. It's great. I'm telling you. Have you
is
been
it
there?
More liberal or conservative?
I
always think of Columbia, Missouri, as more liberal. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think because it's a college town. You know, there's a lot of.
They have their own television station. They have two radio stations, and they got their own media.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I loved it. Greatest hamburgers there, too, downtown.
No, it's one of the top five television radio, if you're going to go to telecommunications.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
With Syracuse, Northwestern, Michigan State was up there.
Columbia.
But Columbia definitely was on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Even back when I was looking for schools.
I loved it. Went to a couple of football games while I was there. I loved the whole scene of it. I really did. I enjoyed my time down there.
Now, look, we're both on the kind of the same progressive liberal track.
Mark.
I said the best thing I can say about Michael Sam. I told those guys in the podcast. I said, I don't care.
Don't care.
I don't care.
And Mark, we already know. Are there gay guys in the NFL? Of course there are.
All over the place.
So stop.
That's
it.
The numbers. That would be the odds anyhow in life.
If you would just do, if you say 10% of the population is gay, then 10% of the NFL is gay. I'm sorry. Oh, well, not there. No, it's 100% flight attendants and zero NFL players. No, it's not. It's 10% across the board.
You had to use flight. You had to play the flight attendant card.
But you know what I'm saying. All right, who's the manager at Macy's in the men's department? How's that? You know what I'm saying. You know what? People say, oh, he just wants attention to be applauded for it. That's not it. He told his team a year ago, Mark. Nobody spilled the beans. They went 12-2. He was defensive player of the year. All the other good stuff didn't seem to be an issue. Mark, you know this. You've been in locker rooms. If you don't want to be seen, can you not be seen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on. If you don't want
to. Oh, dude, these are modern day locker rooms.
And then you have the guys, Mark, who want to be seen. Yes or no? Who stand there.
Posers.
Who want to do an interview.
Right.
Butt naked.
Naked.
Butt naked.
Swinging
in
the wind.
Swinging in the wind. And you're like, oh, jeez.
Dude.
Put a towel on. Right. Put a pair of underwear.
All the time.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable for us, right? When we're in a locker room.
Not really,
it's
no.
It's not. So.
I'm used to it, so I don't
care.
No, I know. Again, I don't care.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you don't want to be seen, you don't have to be. And let me tell you, unless he's harassing people, just like you would have in any workplace, be it male or female, you know what I mean? Hey, baby, hey, whatever. If he's doing that, then he's out of line and he shouldn't in the workplace and he shouldn't work there. If he does his job and does what he's supposed to do and doesn't make any advances to people who aren't interested in his advance, he's good to go. I'm sorry. It's not about promoting homosexuality or whatever. And the other thing that I talk about all the time is, Mark, sin is sin. Who's the gauge? Who puts the gauges on what's sin? homosexuality is up here, and being an adulterer, you know, with your wife is down here. No, it's not. I hate to break it to you. Sin is sin, right? So ye without sin cast the first stone. Mark, we're all sinners.
You're getting biblical there.
We're all sinners. We are, whether you agree or not. I'm just saying, in the eyes of the people, think it's a sin. That's all I'm talking about.
Well, we can never change their minds.
No, and I'm not trying to.
And I learned a long time ago.
I get it.
I did see a good, kind of a clever thing where someone from the Christian right actually wrote that I'm a Christian, and they wrote this. I'm a Christian. Why does this Michael Sam have to even broadcast that he's gay? And someone wrote back, why do you have to broadcast that you're a Christian?
Thank you.
Straight guys don't come out and do it, but people of religion seem to think that it's okay to come out and say, I'm this, and then cast that stone at a Michael Sam saying, well, why does he have to, they even said, I don't care that he's that way, but why does he have to broadcast it? Well, why do you have to broadcast it? People do what they do, and it's a sensitive subject for sure. Someone asked me flat out, do you think things will happen? Of course they will. People will yell stuff. There will be signs. That's a gimme. Something will go on. Hopefully nothing physical against them. Hopefully nothing dangerous. Hopefully nothing, you know, really off the beaten path. But if you don't think there's going to be signs and words said, come on, what world am I living in? Don't even be trying to tell me that he's going to make it through a full season in the NFL, whether he plays like Manti Te'o had it all season. People didn't say much about him in San Diego. Te'o was very much similar to this kind of story. And Te'o heard it. Te'o had signs, but he didn't do anything about it. That's why you didn't hear much about him in San Diego.
Well, anybody who thinks that you, a lot of people don't want to equate it the same way, but people didn't want Jackie Robinson in the locker room. People didn't want Jackie Robinson.
I saw the comparisons between the black barrier and the gay barrier.
And I'm just saying.
There's some merit to it.
There's some. It's not exactly the same, Mark. It's not exactly, but there is some merit.
Being black isn't a lifestyle choice.
No, it's not. But some people say that being gay isn't a lifestyle choice, that you're born that way.
I
mean, so it just depends on if you're born black. And some people say they
know. I'm giving you their, not mine. I don't care.
I know, but people have to also be honest, Mark. Without getting too deep into it, please tell me you've seen a 5-year-old, 6-year-old boy who is not sexual one bit, and you look at him and you say, "Nah, when they get older, they might." You know what I mean? Like, there's a.
Me no.
Yeah, I have. I mean, well, you just look at, just like, it's a little. I'm gonna say playing with the dolls or whatever, but there's just something about him. And my point is, I do believe some people make a choice of it, but I do believe some people are born with it. That's just what I believe.
All right, so there you go. A couple final things and we'll be done. Daytona 500 on Sunday. Real interesting story. Austin Dillon actually won the pole. And Rob, if you don't know Austin Dillon, he's 23 years old. He is the grandson of car owner Richard Childress and RCR Racing, Richard Childress Racing. He won the pole at 196. Almost even, 0.019. He was second on the nationwide tour. Finished second in a couple of races in 2013. His name again is Austin Dillon. He's the second straight rookie to win the pole. Danica Patrick, of course, won it last year. Austin Dillon is racing in the number 3. It's the first time the number 3 car has been used since the Dale Earnhardt crashed and died at Daytona in 2001. Childress, who of course owned the car with Earnhardt and was his partner for many, many moon, said this is the one guy that Earnhardt would have wanted to race in the 3 because it is Childress's grandson and he's known the kid since he was born. There's a great picture of a small Austin Dillon with Dale Earnhardt when he finally broke the streak where he couldn't win at Daytona in 1998, 3 years before he died on that track. And I said to myself, do I like it? Because I know there's still so many people, Earnhardt fans, that cherish that number 3. And the fact that it's been out of circulation since the man in the black hat died. And I kind of applauded it this time. I did. I think it's been long enough. It's been held out for 13 years. I remember doing that thing where Dave Llewellyn and I were at the Proving Grounds GM, and we actually got to ride with Earnhardt and Kenny Schrader. And I did a wacky piece on TV with Earnhardt and Dale Kenny Schrader. I'm waiting for it.
Oh, no, you, a wacky piece?
And which I kind of cherish. I cherish the fact that I got to sit in a car with Dale Earnhardt as he's driving me around the Proving Grounds. And so I know the effect of Earnhardt and his fan base that remains to this day and kind of bled over to Junior. You know, Dale Junior gets a lot of that because his name is Dale Junior. So Austin Dillon is the name now. In your mind, when you have something iconic like the number three card of Dale Earnhardt being used by another guy, are you cool? What's your first reaction when I say that to you, that this kid, because he's the grandson of Richard Childress, I don't know if Childress would do this with any other driver, put him back in the three, and then he happens to win the pole for the Daytona 500. The one race Earnhardt could not win until 98, all those years, when he won seven, whatever it was, you know, NASCAR championships.
Yeah, I think so, Mark. I'm cool with it. At some point, somebody was going to have to do it, so I get it. I'm cool with it. You weren't going to keep it vacant forever.
Well, it's kind of like retiring a number.
No.
Isn't it the same as retiring a number in pro sports?
Yeah, but at some point, I'm cool with it. I think it's okay.
You like it because it's the grandson, or just anybody would have been cool?
Yeah, it's the grandson. I think that's a nice honor for it. If someone's going to do it, that's a great honor.
All right, Martin Truex finished second at 195.8, so there's your front row. You got Truex and Austin Dillon, 23-year-old rookie, in the number three. It just looks so weird. On the pole for the Daytona 500, which, of course, is Sunday. The rest of the field will be set in the twin spins, the Budweiser duels, on Thursday. So you got to get 41 more cars into the field. And that's our NASCAR stuff for today. Just kind of a really interesting story out of the Daytona Motor Speedway with Austin Dillon. This kid looks, he's even wearing the black hat. He even had the hat on. He's not, you know, he's not Earnhardt's grandson. He's Childress's grandson. Any shout-outs, anything at the end? I got one shout-out I'd like to do. You know how some, I don't know, in your Twitter world, have you ever had anybody follow you that you were, like, impressed, started to follow you because you maybe sent a tweet out? Or you had to have done something.
No, not really. At all? I don't.
No, you don't get into that at all? See, I do. And
why?
You know,
who's following
you? I have a replacement for Lucy Noland. Finally.
Lucy, she gave you up?
I'm giving her up. Sorry.
Who you got?
When I was in Vegas, I loved Olivia Fierro. She's the news anchor at Fox 5 with John Huck. Remember John Huck from CNN? They're a really good anchor team. I never got to meet her in Vegas. She's like the one that got away. I know she's married. I'm not doing that. Not why I'm doing it. But I just think she's really good.
Mark, I think you're awesome.
All right. Because who said that?
Lucy Noland.
Lucy Noland said that. Yeah, she did. On our air.
I was doing this. Mark, I think you're awesome.
See, Rob is admitting that we actually had her say that. So that's fine. So I saw Olivia Fierro tweet something. So I said, oh, my God, I have to tweet back Olivia Fierro just because. And I got a tweet back from her. And then she started following us. So Olivia Fierro is now following at Parker and the Man. Dude, happy day. So shout out.
Come on. Shout out. Very nice.
Rob, you got to check her. She's really something.
Okay,
she's
I'll
hot.
Have to look at
it. Olivia Fierro, Fox 5, Las Vegas. And I'm doing it as a former newsman on television because they do a nice job presenting the newscast for you. No other reasons would I want to follow Olivia Fierro. Follow us on Twitter. Check out our Facebook page. And what about your stuff, Shadow League and whatnot?
That's right. Make sure you, there's no Sports Final Edition one more week. So we did, next Sunday there's no show, and then we'll be back.
That's the closing ceremonies on Sunday.
Exactly. So no Sports Final, but you can check out Fresh Column up on the ShadowLeague.com. And, of course, click on Detroit.com every Monday and Friday at ClickOnDetroit.com.
And read the pieces, the piece on Brad Ausmus, the piece coming on Tom Izzo, and everything else we provide at ParkerAndTheMan.com. And check out PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com. And congratulations to Chef Rob and Theo for getting their show on the weekends at WDFN, AM 1130 The Fan. Bob Bauer every Saturday morning from 10 to noon at Camp Two Fires, his Bob Bauer's Outdoor World. Where's the Bob Bauer?
Bob Bauer.
So check those guys out on a partner for the Piston, the PSTN, WDFN, AM 1130 The Fan. Back in play, baby. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time on the podcast. He's Rob Parker.
He's the man, Mark Wilson, and we'll NBC you later. Parker and the Man.